Hello.
Hello. I'm on the brink signal. I gotta find a better spot. Can you hear me?
What?
Yeah, I hear you. I'm on the brink of signal for some reason.
Yeah, I hear you. I was just teasing.
Oh, okay. How about here? Can you hear me good?
You sound clear, except for your stumbling.
I'm putting books on my hood.
Okay. Yeah, with all that citronella, you don't have to worry about getting eaten alive.
Nope. It's wonderful.
Yeah, you dropped out. Sorry.
Oh, dang.
Well, you got 2 minutes. You could always head to the top of the land.
True. But I don't really want to do that.
We must have some serious cloud cover tonight, because I only see one star.
You know, you're right. I think it's in front of the wall. Nah, I'll be all right.
Yeah, I heard you in real life before I heard you on the phone.
Because you're in your truck?
I'm in my truck.
Oh, yeah. If I didn't have to call Blog Talk, I could just go over there and use yours.
Yeah. Yeah, you could. I'd have to clear a seat for you, though.
That's fine.
I got a pile of files on the floor. You'd be uncomfortable.
No. I think I got decent signal here. What time is it?
All right, Blog Talk's like 3, 2, 1 now.
I'm not ready.
So, all folks, right, we're going to talk about Curly Doc, a.k.a. Yellow Doc. I didn't know they were one and the same. I was calling the other Doc Yellow Doc. My bad. You still there? He must be dialing as we speak. You'll have it here in a little bit. And we'll be talking on Blog Talk. Yay. Happy, happy, joy, joy. FreeFoodAndMedicinePodcast.com. It'd be us.
Can you hear me?
I hear you.
That's okay.
And now I don't. Ouch. I think we just lost him. I think we just lost you. Yeah. Well, we get this show up and running, and we'll be talking about such things as substituting spinach with Curly Doc. Sorry, folks. Tired. Been a long day. Yep, yep. Oh, my. Hello.
Hello.
Where'd you go, ding?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you, and I hear you dialing.
Yeah, this stupid thing. All right. Let me find the phone number. Orange is following me.
Nice. Well, that's one of our lights out in the field. Oh, me, oh, my. Oh my, not sure what he's doing, but I'm waiting for it to happen. I suppose I could start reading out of my book until he showed up. That's probably a good idea. I should probably do that. There he is again. Or there he went again. Well, while we're waiting for him to get it sorted out, I'm going to read. And when he gets it sorted out, I'll start all over again. That's not what I want to read. It might be close, but that's not it either. There we go. Curly Dock, Yellow Rock, Yellow Dock. Rumex crispus. In early spring, you can recognize Curly Dock by its basal rosetta of long, narrow leaves, nearly 2 feet long and no more than 3.5 inches wide, with conspicuously curled, wavy margins. Hold on. What I'm going to read to you, I should probably put the phone where you can hear me. Oops. I'm sorry for all the background noise. I'm just trying to get the phone in the right position, and it's not cooperating. And if I throw it out the window for not cooperating, you won't hear me anymore. All righty. Do. Crispus means curly in Latin. Each leaf has a long central vein with smaller veins heading toward the leaf's edge, then curving in again. They meet smaller veins and make a rough pattern in the leaf's edge. In the summer, this European perennial grows a flower stalk about 5 feet tall with small alternating leaves similar to the basil leaves. Papery sheaths surround the flower stalk and connect it to the leaf stalk, typical of the buckwheat family. The flower stalk soon becomes covered with dense clusters of tiny flowers emanating from the leaf axil. Each flower consists of 6 green, white, or pinkish sepals. The flowers give way to seed clusters. Each seed is enclosed in Rusty Brown. Ah, there he is again. Are we going to make it work this time?
I don't know.
Well,
land.
All right. I will continue reading until we get Blog Talk working, and then I'll start all over again.
Bye.
Okay. So each seat is enclosed in rusty brown, three-angled, papery wings, like buckwheat groats. One plant may have as many as 40,000 seeds. Herbalists call it yellow dock because of the long, stout, yellow taproot. Dock is the word for solid part of the plant's tail, of a solid part of an animal's tail. And to dock means to remove the tail, as is done with sheep and dogs. All weeds were eventually called dock in English, perhaps because people tried to remove or dock them. Any but the most concerted attempts to eradicate curly dock failed. Little bits of root will regenerate entire plants. I think we lost them again. Oh, well. Other related docks, all with similar seeds and yellow roots, are more or less edible, depending on their bitterness. Broadleaf dock or bitter dock, Rumex obtusifolius, for example, has wider leaves without curly edges. Oh, okay. So that'd be the one I was calling smoothleaf dock. And that's the one I thought was yellow dock. So maybe. I don't know. I'd have to find out what they were talking about for sure. People sometimes compare curly dock with the dandelion and its relatives because of their long leaves and basal rosettas. Dandelions are smaller with toothed leaves and white milky sap. When dock is in its basal rosetta form, its leaf is broader. Was that a successful dial? I don't know. It also tends to be enormous, even though both plants sport dock in their names. They're unrelated. Oh, burdock. Okay. Dock is a common name for coarse, weedy plants. Burdock belongs to the artichoke family, while curly dock belongs to the buckwheat family. I did not know that. Artichoke. And it's another one to add to my lettuce family list. Okay. Well, curly dock and its relatives.
We are sorry, but we are experiencing a problem with our system. Please try your call again later, or report a problem through the Blog Talk Radio webpage.
To start your show now, press 1. To hear important instructions, press 2.
Since it appears you're calling back into a live show, we are reconnecting you now.
Hello! And
hopefully
my host is not
working.
Yeah, I believe it might be.
Your show will go live in 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hello.
Blog Talk Radio.
I was sick, too. I was sick all through September. 3 weeks I was sick, man. I didn't take any medicine, though, because I don't trust the shit anymore. I'm paranoid, man. I've noticed over the last couple of years, any new medicine that they advertise on TV, the last 20 seconds of the commercials are just totally psycho side effects for whatever they're trying to advertise. You ever notice that shit? And they always try to slide it in real quick, too, like it's no big deal. Just like, yeah, it cures your headache. Everything's great. Then your ear falls off, you can't feel your feet, and you won't recognize your mother. 40% of the people were bleeding from the ass, and one guy thought he was a pigeon. I'm not even exaggerating that bad. I saw this shit the other night, right? It's supposed to cure, like, stomach acid. End of the commercial, the three side effects were migraine headaches, abdominal pain, and diarrhea. Who the hell would try that shit? You basically try that shit. You go from, like, one problem to three. You're just walking away like, how's your stomach acid? It's great. Never felt better. No, diarrhea is not a side effect. That is a major goddamn problem. All right, where I'm from, the evening is over. What, are there actually people out there like, oh, this little diarrhea, don't worry. Just going to kind of slam my ass cheek shut. I'll be all right. Actually, diarrhea is the least of my problems at this point. It's helping to take my mind off the migraine headache and the knifing abdominal pain in my stomach. Dude, you don't try anything that causes diarrhea. Diarrhea is evil. That is basically your body going, you know what? You have something so foul within your system, we can't wait for the normal process of elimination. We have to get rid of that shit right now. But dude, I'm still on the bus. Fuck it now. You have some evil in your ass, and it has got to go immediately. We must override all do not shit your pants systems because you, sir, have a storm brewing. All right, my name's Bill Burr. You guys are a lot of fun. Thank you very much.
All right. I tried replacing that with a different audio, but it's not letting me for some reason.
Yeah, because it wants the storm to brew.
Huh?
Because it wants the storm to brew.
Yeah. It was funny the first two times, but now it's not funny anymore. Anyways. Yeah. I mean, he's got a point. I mean, basically, these pharmaceuticals, they have these psycho side effects. And why would people take that stuff? I still don't understand. People still do it.
Because their doctor said it was okay.
Right, and they worship their doctor.
And, you know, there are people that if the president said it was okay to jump off the Golden Gate Bridge, it's all right, we'll catch you before you hit the water, they would do it.
Right.
They would do it in mass. They'd do it even though they saw 1,000 other people hit the water and die. That's, you know. You know, we got religions based on that kind of faith.
So anyways, we do not practice man's medicine. We practice God's medicine.
As best we can determine it.
Which is why we do free food and medicine.
Yoo-hoo.
The worldwide edible plant guide.
So, would you like to read from that book or do some highlights from that book?
Okay. Well, you want me to read the yellow doc or do you want me to read the sorrow?
The yellow dot.
You would. It's the long one.
Well, you know, people right. Who are going to listen to the download will hear me reading from my book, so.
That's cool. Actually, I'll read both because the sorrow is like two-liner.
Okay.
There are over 200 species of rumex, which is the family in which sorrow is in.
which includes docks. Apparently there's more than one. And buckwheat. One of the most popular sorrows. Wait, one of the most popular sorrows is, oh, sheep sorrow. Okay, so a lead in a sheep sorrow.
Oh. Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know. Yeah, I did know that. I knew that was in the yeah, it's in the buckwheat family.
Yeah. So, that's a short blurb. The great instant snack food. Leaves shaped like knife, sword, arrowhead, which are with tall flowering stalks that sometimes resemble red grass with small reddish colored flowers stuck close to the stalk that sometimes branches at the top. Male flowers are yellow. Female flowers are red, like lipstick. It has a strong, tart, sour apple or lemony flavor. Quite a fun plant to eat. The entire plant is edible. Contains lots of soluble oxalate, but shouldn't be a concern to someone eating a diverse, healthy diet. A great addition to any type of salad. Used for inflammatory diarrhea, menstrual bleeding, has multiple cancer-preventing compounds and anti-mutagenic, making it a popular anti-cancer plant. It's one of the ingredients in the famous Essiac tea remedy.
There you go.
So, I don't know if wood sorrow is in this family or not. Probably
no.
Not.
No, not even close.
Wood sorrow is also sour by nature and is a great salad and delicious and nutritious. So, yellow dock, also known as curly dock. Leaves that look like pointy tip lasagna with tall seed stalks covered in seeds that turn brown and dry later in the year, having a slightly nutty flavor. The leaves are a light yellow or purple meat. Wait. The leaves have a slight or a light yellow purple. A light yellow or purple medium fine. Different color than the leaves. A very common but highly useful body purifying weed. Whole plant usable, young leaves edible, root is mostly medicinal, a non irritating laxative for constipation. It calms the intestinal and intestines and comforts inflammation of the intestinal lining. Tea enhances digestive and improves appetite. Used to detoxify the liver, clean the blood, bowel infections, treat peptic ulcers, invigorates the liver and colon with glycosides. Great for healing gut. Maybe help with leaky gut syndrome, which somebody was talking about earlier today or yesterday. Where was I? Okay. Great for healing the gut, urinary stones, and bladder inflammation. So it'll help with kidney stones and bladder stones. Let's see here. Soothes respiratory system. Helps body absorb nutrients. So there you go. Removes toxins from the urine. Contains anthraquinones, which
I'm not sure. I'm looking at the same words here. Yeah.
Okay. Which stops ringworms and fungus. Used historically for sexual diseases like syphilis, pulls toxins from the blood, lymph, and body tissues, raises red blood cell count, more oxygen in your blood, relieves heavy menstrual periods, pain, fibroids, and anemia, rich in iron, and even helps relieve depression, inflammation, and next page, swelling. Great for skin conditions and itching. used for centuries for great results with skin conditions like eczema, psoriasis, rashes, oils, and abscesses. Helps remove sores, pimples. Hey, there you go. That's and problems from the skin. Can be mixed
We should be making a poultice of this for when we get sugar bites.
Probably. Can be mixed with sage as a tea and consumed and also put in the bath if you want to make a really good healing cleanser. Mix yellow dock with burdock, dandelion, and even some nettles. Now you've got some serious cleaning power. Now, in the other book, it was saying, in my backyard medicine book, it was saying that over the centuries, the
90 seconds.
I think it said the Irish in my book used to use it as a remedy for rashes from stinging nettle.
David's book basically said the same thing, but from another country.
Right. Did your reading mention helping with liver disorders and skin problems? Skin problems, yes.
Yeah.
60 seconds.
Right. I'm not sure if the recording's going to cut off in 60 seconds or not, but it says it will. Why don't you give the contact information in case it does?
Yeah, sorry. We started late because we had technical problems. I had technical problems. once this cuts us off, we're going to go over. Maybe Blog Talk will keep recording. But you can find the rest of this at freefoodandmedicine.org. Okay.
Right. Okay. So, this guy in this book, he mentions that having rumicin. It's a liver decongestant that liver disorders often related to skin problems that also stimulates the liver to produce bile.
10 seconds.
The decoction works as a bitter tonic for the stomach and another active ingredient, anodine, stimulates peristalsis. I'm not sure what that is. I'm sorry, folks, and I probably mispronounced it. Making this herb a good remedy for consumption. Oh, for constipation. I'm sorry. Misread the word. Yes, from lung disorder to bowel movement problems. My error is not what the book said.
I don't know if you can smoke it, but one of the girls in our community wanting to put together a smoke blend.
I suspect you can't smoke it because this guy says he tried to cook it. And if you cook it for more than if you steam it for more than 5 to 10 minutes, it turns into a gooey mess, which is great if you're making a stew. If you're making a stew, it kind of melts into the stew and helps thicken the stew. It turns a yellow-green color and moves around. I guess it melts. Melts in the pot. So I suppose if you dried it, you could smoke it. But, yeah.
That's the idea.
Right. All right, so they're talking about the decoction. It says a large overdoses may cause gastrointestinal disturbance, leading to nausea and diarrhea. So, yeah, you can make a decoction, you can make medicine from the root, and it'll purify the liver. It acts as a decongestant for the liver and stimulates the production of bile, so that'll help you digest things. All right. Apparently, this author doesn't think the root's very edible. I tell you, folks, I've dug up dock roots in the wintertime, and I've cut them up into very thin slices and cooked them into my stew. They weren't the best thing to eat, but apparently they were nutritious, and they helped me get through the winter. Even got fat, but that wasn't the only thing I ate. But, it was part of my routine that particular winter. So, thistle roots and a couple of vegetables I still haven't been able to find in the books, but I used my grandmother's method for testing them and came to the conclusion they were all right for me to eat. So,
like that one that tastes like carrot?
Yes, like that one. Yep. Yeah, because that particular plant stays green all winter long.
Yeah, kind of like Wintercrest, whatever it's called.
Yes, that's one you kind of like and I don't. You know, and I'm still not sure I identified it correctly, but...
It looks exactly like watercress, but it doesn't grow in the water.
Okay, I'm looking for things that weren't mentioned in your book. It has a caution here. It says, very young curly dock leaves, when they've just started to come up in early spring, contain enough chirosulfanic acid to irritate your mouth when you eat them without washing them first. After one tour, where everyone sampled this delicious green in the field, our tongues were a little numb for nearly 12 hours. All right, so, you know, doesn't sound like it'll kill you, but if you can figure out when to harvest it at that time, you can probably sneak it into somebody's food that you know, they talk too much, make their tongue feel numb. I don't know. All right, he gives an example of where he cooked it. That's, you know, so this is the author's words I'm reading directly from here. I learned just how gooey this vegetable becomes when an experimental recipe I tried surprised me. Because dock leaves were so big, I thought they'd be great stuffed and baked. I made a tomato and rice filling with Italian seasoning and nuts, and rolled this into the dock leaves. And that actually sounds pretty good. The baked dock unexpectedly turned mucilaginous. I can't even say it right. Basically, it turned to slime. My vegetable rolls were delicious, but unsightly and messy. The dock and stuffing should have been baked into bell peppers.
There you go. Bell peppers. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, so he should have made stuffed bell peppers using the dock. You know. So they don't stand up to excessive cooking, basically. But if you steam them for, you know, like 5 to 10 minutes, you know, you can serve them up like cooked spinach. And, you know, I like to pour vinegar on my cooked spinach. It sounds like these won't need it because they'll have a lemony taste to them. So. Let's see now. Anything? I don't see anything else this book mentions that you didn't. Oh, there's this. This is actually kind of funny. Okay. Its tannin content makes curly dock astringent, good for wounds and bleeding. In a Star Trek Next Generations episode, Dr. Crusher had Captain Picard crush a yellow, bitter-tasting taproot. To her injuries. To stop the bleeding. Apparently, curly dock also grows on other planets.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, I don't have any other original content here, so.
Original content.
Yeah, everything else I see in this book, Kano pretty well covered with Rothkrantz's book there. So.
Yeah, I got a couple more. But one of the things that brought Doc to question or to the forefront of my mind, we were discussing what topic we were going to talk about tonight. And earlier, I was discussing with someone else what herbs are good for depression, and yellow dock, was one of them.
Okay.
So, real quick, I'll read the herbs for depression. Some of them I may not be able to pronounce. But anyways, it says, of course, he often says the bitter stuff is best. Remember, bitter makes you less bitter. So,
well, there you go.
Ashwagandha is good for depression. Baby sunrose, basil, bee pollen, maybe honey also. Black cohosh, blueberries, borage, not to be confused with porridge.
Borage reminds me a lot of comfrey, but it's like a, I don't think they're related, but it's like a, it's smaller fuzzy cousin.
Oh, okay.
It's, I don't think they're related. It's just, you know, it has, I don't know, seems to have a similar appearance to me.
Boswellia. Not sure what that is. I'll have to look that up. Cinnamon. Chaparral.
Yeah, chaparral.
Yeah. You're familiar with it. I'm not.
Yeah, not so much.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe we'll do our podcast on that in the future. Chicory. We've done our podcast on chicory, no?
On the lettuce family. I'm not sure about chicory itself.
Oh, okay.
I'd like to get some growing in the middle of our field.
Yeah. It usually grows, that little purple flower that usually grows along the roads is chicory.
Yeah, purple blue. It's near blue color.
Yeah, bluish purple.
Yep.
The next herb is, I can't pronounce it. It's Damiana. D-A-M-I-A-N-A.
I'm not familiar with it.
Me neither. Evening primrose. And then false unicorn.
False unicorn?
I know, right?
Is that unicorn with two horns?
Maybe. fennel grass, ginseng, ginkgo biloba, goth cola. Not gouda cola, but goth cola.
Okay.
Yeah, it's probably black. You know, because it's goth.
funny.
Kelp. And then hops.
Hops?
Hops.
Oh, that's where the beer comes in.
Beer. Huh?
So drink more beer. It'll help with depression.
Well, not really, but that's probably why people drink beer, because they think it helps them with their depression because of the hops, but because it does other things to their body.
Well, it's the alcohol. It's the alcohol that messes with that process.
Right.
So it's just like grapes are good for you. Yeah.
They need the hop, but they're going for the alcohol because it stimulates the depression, but also gives them other problems. It's like taking a pharmaceutical.
Pretty much.
Loquat are good for depression. And get this.
Yeah, that grows out in California.
Get this. Mimosa is good for depression.
Mimosa. Right. Yep. The flower or other parts?
Don't know. Maybe we'll do our podcast on that next week.
Right. A little out of season.
Moringa. And like we was just talking about with the yellow dock being a cure for stinging nettle.
Yes.
Regular nettle. Well, I don't know what kind of nettle. It just says nettle. Is good for depression as well.
Yeah, stinging nettle is good for depression.
Oh, there you go. Oat grass is good for depression.
Yeah, I don't know why all these other things are good for depression, but I suspect it's because of their nutrient content. You know, if you got a lot of vitamin B's in a food, it's going to be good for depression.
Right. Orange peelings are good for depression.
Excellent. Well, that's all what that is? You know, where do you get organic ones?
Yeah, I know. Well, the essential oils from these products also might help. So, orange.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
All right, Blog Talk.
That answered that question. Yep. Well, right. For those of you still listening, I suspect the reason why orange peelings are good for depression is because they have a high vitamin B content in the white pithy part. You know, the part that you try to peel off and remove because it doesn't taste so great? Eat it.
Eat it. Just eat it. Stick it in your face and eat it.
There you go. All righty. Well, I'm setting my alarms. So I can get up in time because I got work tomorrow.
All right. Goodbye.
All right, folks. See you next week at, what is it, freefoodandmedicinepodcast.com? Is that correct?
Yeah, freefoodandmedicinepodcast.com takes you to our Blog Talk Radio, and then freefoodandmedicine.org takes you to the rest of the podcast.
There you go. Which will be kind of split up this week because, you know, the Blog Talk part's going to be right in the middle of it. All righty. Good night, folks.
Good night. All right. I wasn't finished. So here we go. Pine pollen. So I assume that's the pine essence from the pine flower. I know that I've been taking the Bach pine essence for depression in the past. So that's probably where the pine pollen is good for depression. So if you're a florivore like me, I love eating flowers. Eat the pine flowers. Pumpkin is good for depression. Rhodiola. Saffron. Now, saffron is expensive, so you might not use it unless you got a lot of money or you just want to blow money. But I'm not sure how powerful saffron will work for you. I just know it's expensive. An ounce of saffron oil retail is like $500. I think I can get away with selling it for a little less. Actually, it was $500. 7 years ago, or more like 10 years ago. How much it is now, I don't know, but I can sell it cheaper. I'm not selling oils at this time, but I am and I'm not. But being that saffron is expensive, I would want money up front, and I would order it. I've got a tiny bit of saffron oil, but and maybe I should wear that around my neck. It'll help me with my depression, because I've battled depression pretty much my whole life. So, yeah, maybe I should dig out my saffron oil and wear it around my neck. Although my aromatherapy necklace broke, so I gotta make another one. Anyways, rhodiola, though, that's a good one. I've used it in the past. Sage. Sarsaparilla. It looks like sarsaparilla. It's S-A-R-S-A-P-A-R-I-L-L-S. A-R-I-L-L-A. Sarsaparilla. Sarsaparilla. I'll have to look that one up. Seaweed, which we don't have a lot of that in the Midwest, but you can buy it. St. John's wort. Now, I can't take St. John's wort necessarily because it's a blood thickener. And I already have really thick blood. So St. John's wort can cause boils for people who have thick blood. So if you have thick blood and you wanted to take St. John's wort, take a blood thinner with it, like white willow, and or probably not white willow so much because white willow's for pain, and too much white willow will give you, you know, will have side effects. But I know turmeric is a blood thinner, and so you can take it with turmeric, and turmeric's good for your bones. And stuff like that, you know. So, turmeric's a superfood. It's good for a lot of things. So, if you take St. John's wort and you got thick blood or you start getting boils, take a blood thinner. I think burdock is a blood thinner. I have to look into that. And again, I know for sure that... I just said it. Turmeric. Curcumin, which is a turmeric product, and turmeric are both blood thinners, and that will help you be able to handle St. John's wort. And they're good for the body. They're good for the bones, pain and inflammation, stuff like that. Okay, thyme is good for depression. Valerian or valerian root, which most people are familiar with. Vervain, and then yellow dock, which is basically our topic for tonight. So those things are good for depression. And a lot of people are battling depression these days because we're like Indian times or whatever. We got a tyrannical government. we got to deal with the New World Order and all that crap. So last but not least, from my backyard medicine book, I didn't get a chance to read from it. let's see here real quick. It's good for acne, boils, bites, cuts, sunburn, easing rheumatic acne. No, aches. Rheumatic aches, whatever that, you know, basically pain. The pain relief. Soothes inflamed gums. Oh, soothes inflamed gums using the dried powder from the roots. Again, high in iron. A lot of women have problems with iron. My mom has a problem with iron, especially if you're menstruating, you bleed out a lot of iron. So women tend to need more iron than men, because women bleed every month, most women anyways. And when you bleed out a lot of iron. So iron is very important for women. So women especially should be taking this product because it's high in iron.
anything that's high in iron would be good for that. Anyways, there was something else that I saw, and I can't remember. There's another plant that we were mistaking for a dock, and it actually is in the dock family. I think it's called narrow leaf dock. You'll have to look that up.
And I can look it up again. I had to restart my phone earlier because we were having technical problems. But let me look that up. Oh, I looked up smooth leaf dock. It's actually more sour. And it is in the same family. Hang on a second. The curly dock, or also known as the wide leaf dock, is the yellow dock or curly dock, and it's more bitter. The other one is called narrow. I think it's narrow leaf dock. Narrow leaf dock. Here it is. Anyways, the narrow leaf dock is more of a smooth leaf dock, and it's more sour. And that's the one that I like. I like it more. It's also called sorrow. I believe it's called sorrow. It says here, common sorrow or garden sorrow, often simply called sorrow, is a perennial herb in the family of the polygenic whatever. Other names for sorrow include spinach, or I'm not sure if this is spinach dock, and narrow leafed dock. It is a common plant in the grassland habitats and is cultivated as a garden herb or salad vegetable. And again, this one's a little more sour, therefore it's a little more tasty. So common sorrow or garden sorrow, not to be confused with wood sorrow. Wood sorrow is the Irish clover, which also is sour and tasty. I think I mentioned that earlier, and it's good in salads. So there you go. I guess that's it. Let me double check my backyard medicine book for any more details. Yellow dock is a great for making like a gluten-free flour. So if you got gluten issues, use yellow dock. Grind it up, make a flour out of it, and it's basically like buckwheat. David used to call it like a poor man's buckwheat. But if you're looking for a gluten-free flour, yellow dock is perfect for that. And it's practically free because it grows everywhere as a weed. Here's where it says dock root. Oh, gives a gluten-free flour. So you can use the root too. Yeah, whatever you think. Do your own homework.
La la la. Yeah. So anyways, so yeah, if you got a stinging nettle rash, rub some yellow dock on it, and it should go away. Plantain might help with that as well, because plantain's good for stuff like that. There's a lot of reading to do. Each dock produces like 30,000 seeds. So if it's a product you want to grow, you will have no problems growing it. It says here it is an almost unstoppable weed. Yet one with redeeming medical qualities or medicinal qualities. And apparently it grows pretty much around the world. So there you go. A worldwide medicine, yellow dock. Boom, shaka. All right, I guess that's it. Check us out at freefoodandmedicinepodcast.com and or freefoodandmedicine.org. I upload to the freefoodandmedicine.org website when I have time. In the summers, I'm uber busy. I don't have time for nothing, not even a relationship. I am just busy, 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 busy. So I'm not even looking for a relationship for that matter. So, yeah. In the winter, I slow down. I got more time to do more IT type stuff. I drive truck in the winter. I climb and trim trees in the summer. And I farm in the summer. But now that we have help on the land, I don't have to worry about being here as much. But again, I don't like being on the road all the time. I get burned out. So again, summer I'll be on the land more, farming and practicing free food and medicine. And in the winter I'll be driving truck hauling basically liquid feed for animals, for like salt licks and mineral licks and stuff like that, supplemental stuff. Like choline chloride, which is a vitamin B supplement that they dig up from the ground. I'm not exactly sure where they get it, but you might look into the choline chloride, see where it comes from, see what benefits it has. I need to look more into that myself exactly. But for somebody who drinks, choline chloride is really good because it helps people get over hangovers. One of my exes bought like a half gallon jug of it from me because, you know, she's an alcoholic and she didn't like hangovers. So she, after we broke up, she bought a half gallon jug of it to help prevent her from having her hangovers. So that's a testimony right there. It is salty. But you can get it in powder form, and therefore you can make pills out of it. bada boom, bada bing. So there you go. Freefoodandmedicine.org. And if you check out our other podcasts, check out ManicMondayPodcast.com, and you can find all of our podcasts there. Right now we're only doing two at a time. We had another one before
but we phased it out as we was phasing in the Free Food and Medicine podcast. So there you go. So long.
Good night. Have a good day. Bye.